Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. I'm here with my boss, Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, Padres-Dodgers, I'm told it's not a big series, but it feels like one, and I am looking forward to going out to Petco because all three games sold out, as we saw last year. A lot of Dodger fans still, but Padres fans showing up more because they got a bigger season ticket base. The team is better, and it is really just a great atmosphere.
No, it really is, and it's always one of the highlights of the year. It's unfortunate the way that it's scheduled this year. We have the weekend series, and then the Dodgers aren't back here again until September. So it's definitely enjoy it while we can. I know it's not a big series. I read today it's not a big series. But I also know with the way the crowd is, and if the Padres, you know, do something well and you know, hit a big home run or make a big defensive play or get a big strikeout, the crowd's going crazy, there's going to be a lot of celebrating going on the field, whether the players want to say it's a big series or not. And look, let's face it, it's not a big series. I mean, in the real big picture of things, these are games 15, 16, and 17 in the regular season.
Yeah.
No matter what happens after this weekend, whether the Padres win three, the Dodgers win three, or something in between, there are 145 games to go. And I know, and all we have to do is look back at last year and how big we thought it was that, and how big the Padres thought it was that they won. I think it was 7 out of 10 against the Dodgers.
Yes.
To open up the season series last year. And then they never beat them again. So I think the way I look at it is, it's a fun weekend. I'm happy I'm able to go out there a couple times. I'm really looking forward to Sunday. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. Clayton Kershaw, a Hall of Famer on the mound. Sean Manaea, fun pitcher to watch. Great matchup. You'll close out the series, you know, whatever happens, whether somebody's going for a sweep or it's a rubber match. And I'm really looking forward to it. But I think we always have to be careful as to what we read into anything that happens this weekend. If the Padres lose all three games, it's not the end of the world any more than it is if they win all three games, that it means, you know, they're winning the World Series.
Yeah, we won't think about it again until the next series, which I believe is the end of June in Los Angeles, and we'll remind everybody that they've lost 12 in a row to the Dodgers at that point, since it's 9 now. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why in the story I wanted to make it clear that the fans should treat this game however they want to treat it. Like,
right.
You hate L.A.? Like, look, I lived there. I hate L.A. I loved it when I lived there, by the way. But I go back now, right, and I want to kill people. But you know, go ahead. That's awesome. And the players appreciate that, too. But they acknowledged that last year, this was their – like, they were finally as good as the Dodgers, you know. And they swept them in June. Who among us wouldn't have thought the Dodger or the Padres were going to the playoffs? I think it was June 23rd last year, swept them for the first time in 8 years and, you know, really looked good, had won 7 out of 10. And so anyway, that is the only reason why they need to contend and actually keep it to just be, hey, today's Friday's game. It's stupid. It's silly. It's Marty Schottenheimer-esque, but you know what else it is? It's true. So
yeah, I wanted to laugh at one quote in your story today, where the Padres, in the words of one of their executives, quote, left a lot of juice in the dirt in those series. Am I supposed to believe that by the Padres winning 7 out of 10 and sweeping the Dodgers in June, that somehow that affected the Padres' epic collapse that started on August 10? I'm sorry, I'm not buying one word of that. And the Padres, whoever that is, can tell themselves that and tell you that, and the players can tell themselves that. I'm not buying a word of it.
I think that maybe you're taking it too literally and just, you know, narrowly, but I think that the idea that they would get so geeked up early in the season and treat the beginning of last season as if it was the 2020 season, which was basically 60 games of playoffs, that if that was a small part of this team, you know, whatever, but you're right. It was way down on the list of things that were wrong with them at the end of the year.
If that was a small part, it was like the size of one of my chewed off fingernail size.
The point being that they put too much onto these series, because Absolutely, Jay. You know what they did after this? They went and they took two or three from the Diamondbacks after that Dodgers series. They went and they took two or three from Cincinnati after that series. You know, they still had some good baseball in them after that.
And that's why, and that's why I don't think that you're saying that, or they're saying that they put too much on it. I'm not necessarily thinking that that's true. I think in a way, what they did against the Dodgers was big for them. It was a confidence. I'm not going to use the M word, but it was a confidence boost for them. Sure. It was like, look what we can do against this team. We should be able to beat, you know, all these other teams. And so if they're able to do that again, I think always the caution is, and it's good to say it beforehand, because if you end up getting swept, it's easy to say, hey, it doesn't mean anything because, you know, look, it doesn't. There's 145 games left to play, and I'll say that again on Tuesday if that's on here, if that's how it develops. But I know what they're saying, but I think I don't think there's anything wrong with treating these games as big games, as long as you don't, in terms of how you play them. Look, you don't manage it like it's the seventh game of the World Series. I'm sure Bob Melvin's not going to do anything like that. He's been around way too long to do that. But I think, look, if you want to get a little bit geeked up to play against your rival, hey, that's great. I mean, the baseball season is a long, long, long season. And to get inspired, you know, I'm sure there are days where these guys come to the park where it's like, oh, boy, you know, another game with the Diamondbacks or whoever it might be. They and do. It's like, hey, these 19 games against the Dodgers, they should be special. And just don't let it – the end result, the key is not to let it – like override your whole thinking that if you win, you think you're on top of the world. And if you lose, you think, oh gosh, what are we going to do now?
All right. How about the bigger point from another quote? And I believe that was Will Myers at the end. And look, Manny Machado's quote about, we just got to win more games. How about the bigger point? How about you go and you sweep the Reds again when you go to Cincinnati next week? You take two or three from the Pirates and you take a couple from the Indians. How about you do that? Because ultimately going 40-39 against teams with losing records last year, while the Dodgers and the Giants were each like 50 games over 500 against teams with losing records, is the difference. So how about that being the bigger point, that this series in the grand scheme is no bigger than other series? But yes, Jay, hey, do you want to go in? Hey, do you want to win 102 games and yet have lost, you know, far more to the Dodgers than you won during the season and then have to face them in the playoffs and go, oh, geez, no, absolutely not. So, but the bigger thing is, hey, Padres, how about you play better in August?
But right. But you know what, do you want to win 102 games, even if it means you lost 13 of 19 against the Dodgers and you get into the playoffs and you get another shot at them? Yeah, sure. Of course you do. But the key is to win those other games against the Reds and the Pirates and the Guardians next week, which we're going to drill into you if it's the last thing we do. And I know you write it. I know you write it all the time.
I've never written Indians.
I know.
Well, that's why I'm a writer, even though the job now requires a whole bunch of talking. Oh, my gosh. And that time I didn't even catch myself. Anyway, Jay.
So anyway, I think what they did, and to segue back for a moment, we can get back into the Dodger series and the matchups and all that. Blake Treinen went on the injured list today, which is a big loss for the Dodger bullpen. But to go back to what you talked about in terms of beating the Reds, the Padres did exactly what we talked about at the start of that series, which was, look, this is a terrible, terrible team right now in Cincinnati, and you need to take advantage of that, and you need to win all three games. And that's exactly what they did. They continued to play incredible defense. I mean, the fact that they still haven't made an error through the first 2 weeks of the season is remarkable. And they got the same great pitching that they've been getting from, what was it, Manaea Musgrove and Gore.
You know,
were Gore. I believe were the three guys who pitched and all pitched well. The bullpen was great. I'm not sure, other than there's still some guys that aren't hitting, I don't know that you can take anything – point to anything really negative out of that series, could you?
The hitting, right? I mean, like the bullpen, and I know the overall stats, it shows you how early in the season we are. The Padres bullpen, I don't think, is ranked anywhere. But that's because of the first game, basically. You know, giving up the four earned runs in the end. That's it. I mean, everyone, it's incredible. Jay, they've gone 8 games where they have gotten at least 5 innings from their starter. Well, 5 innings. Okay, fine. That's the minimum you're going to expect, right? I mean, they did not go longer than 7 games, and they only did that once last year. The last time that they got 8 games in a row where their starter went 5 innings in each was 2019. And, you know, meanwhile, the Dodgers and the Giants last year were running off streaks of 11, 14, 8 continually. It's mind-boggling how good their top three are doing, for sure. Yeah. And if you're getting 5 5 1/3 from Nick Martinez and Mackenzie Gore while still generally getting 6 or more from your top three, it's not going to happen throughout the season. But if that is happening consistently in the season, that's how you have a good bullpen, by the way.
Right. You don't overwork
pretty good last year until it just was overwhelmed.
And I think it should be easier to get deeper into games this year. Obviously, you don't have to pinch hit for someone in the 4th or 5th inning if there's a problem. But as you said, the Dodgers and Giants last year ran off streaks longer than this without a DH. So I don't think it certainly hasn't been a big factor at this point. For one thing, if these guys are only going to give up, 1 or 2 runs or 3 runs, you're generally not going to need to. You wouldn't be pinch hitting for them anyway in the 4th or 5th inning. But no, I think there's no reason at this point for Martinez and especially Gore that you would expect much more than 5 5 1/3, something like that. And at the first sign of a little bit of trouble, they can come out. I mean, I think Gore was up to 88 pitches on Wednesday. When he came out, he threw more pitches in those last 2 innings than he had. He got the big defensive play from Profar. But again, that's another good start for Gore. I don't know what this rotation is going to look like going forward. Maybe you can shed some light on it. It's a weird thing coming up now because they were off yesterday and they're off on Monday. So I don't know how they're going to structure things. But normally Gore would be up to pitch again, I think, on Thursday in Cincinnati. Wednesday or Thursday in Cincinnati, maybe Wednesday in Cincinnati. So again, that's another good place for him to be. And he's pitched really well both times. That's what you wanted to see from a guy like that.
Yeah. And each one showed a progression, right? Like, I mean, the first one, he got by 5 1/3 innings against a pretty decent team without much more than his fastball, right? And this last game, the stuff wasn't fantastic. We still haven't seen this is why they think he's going to be a Cy Young winner. But right. I mean, his second start and he's mixing it up more, would have to go face the Reds, which I fully expect that he will. And he has to face them in that bandbox of a ballpark. To me, it's one of the more, unfriendly to pitcher ballparks. But so here's the deal. You ask, I can't imagine that they don't have Mike Clevinger go one more rehab start. He threw something like between the game, I think it was 48, he threw a dozen more pitches in the bullpen after his start, what was it, on Tuesday in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like enough, does it?
No, they said 5 innings. Clevinger said 5 innings in terms of they don't want to bring a guy back and start inviting more innings for the bullpen. And, it's going to happen at some point. So you don't want to do that, especially when you don't have to. That's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of having Mackenzie Gore and having him pitch well. So, and then I don't expect Blake Snell, and that's when we really get into what the heck are they going to do. I don't expect that they will have Blake Snell until that's if everything goes to plan, early in the next homestand after this road trip coming up to in this road trip, Jay, do you know who it ends against? It ends against the Guardians in Cleveland. I expect that you will see Musgrove and Gore in Cincinnati, and there's here, let's get into this series this way.
And then Martinez.
Right. Let's get into this series this way. Last year, the Padres, they didn't have to do great gymnastics, but they definitely manipulated their rotation each of those first 3 series against the Dodgers to get Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove. It wasn't that all the time, but Darvish and Snell for sure every time against those guys. And this time, no, you know what? long season. Obviously, it's not apples to apples, but they're throwing Nick Martinez tonight. They could have thrown Yu Darvish. He, with the day off yesterday, that would have been on his regular rest. But no, Nick Martinez will be pitching the first game against the Dodgers, then Yu Darvish, and then Sean Manaea. So I think that's one small thing that shows you that, hey, look, this is just the first time against the Dodgers. We get to September, they're going to line up their best pitchers against the Dodgers.
I do think last year Weathers pitched one of those games against the Dodgers.
Yes, it was a four-game series.
Right. I think on a Friday, it might have even been on a Friday night that he pitched a game. But yeah, excuse me. Actually, there was someone, one of the guys, one of my followers on Twitter asked me, do you think that the Padres will do what you said? Will they structure, you know, since there was the off day, will they skip Martinez and line up, you know, the other three guys this weekend, where they could have gone Darvish, Manaea, and Musgrove on regular rest? And my feeling was that there was no need for it. And I figured that Bob Melvin would not do that as well, that there's just at this point in the season, as I said, it's the 15th game. Why mess with things? If you can get these guys an extra day off at this point, it's going to be a good thing for them. So, you know, go with Martinez, go with Darvish, go with Manaea. Then you've got, like I said, Musgrove, Gore, and Martinez next weekend or next week in Cincinnati. And I think the Tuesday pitcher, so that's a week between starts for Musgrove. But then he'll have to come back on Sunday on regular, you know, the following Sunday on regular rest. So I think it all ends up working out. I mean, I'm sure it's one more day than Musgrove would probably want off. I mean, in a perfect world, he'd want to pitch Monday, but you know, he gets a couple days off. It down the line, you hope that pays off, but there's no need to start maneuvering with the rotation, you know, 2 weeks into the season right now. And the Dodgers throwing Julio Urias tonight, who, you know, won 20 games last year, even though nobody counts wins anymore.
That's still impressive.
It really is. He did not pitch very well in their opener this year, I believe, his first start of the year, bounced back, and I know has pitched well since. He's always, always tough. And then they were going to throw Andrew Haney tomorrow, and he's on the injured list. So Tyler Anderson, who we've seen before with the Pirates, I believe, and maybe Seattle, is pitching then. And obviously, as I said, Kershaw on Sunday, who had the 7-inning perfect game and then was not as effective against the Braves this past week. But again, always fun. The Dodgers they lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies to start the season, and since then they're 7-1 or 8-1. I think mostly against the Braves and the Reds, the teams the Padres have played. Bullpen has been good. Craig Kimbrell's, I think, has saved all three of his games. They've got a whole bunch of other guys down there that have pitched well. Mookie Betts hasn't done anything. A couple other guys are struggling, but there they are at 9-3.
So I believe, what is it, that there's three or four other – the Mets have 10 wins. There's three teams in the American League that have 8 wins. And then there's 4 teams in the National League West who have at least 8 wins. So there's many teams in the National League West, I believe. Oh, the Brewers have 8 wins as well. But it's early. But, thing, Jay. There are 6 playoff spots now. There's an extra playoff spot. So if this National League West turns out to be what you think it is, which, you know, the Dodgers, the Giants up there too, at some point the Padres say, hey, we're going to line ourselves up for a playoff series here. And I'm getting way too ahead of myself, but it's like there's a lot of reasons to just take this series for what it is. What happened to the Giants last year after 107 wins? They were out in the wild card series. Now, I don't know how you prevent that. You've got to face the Dodgers. Got to face them at some point. And at some point, I will acknowledge it's a big series, and the Padres will have to as well.
Oh, well, without a doubt. But as we said, it's not going to be now. What else did we see against the Reds? We saw Yerickson Profar continue his bid for MVP honors. Him and Manny Machado right now, I think, are neck and neck
I think Yrieksen is the most fascinating story so far, because, you know, fans weren't the only ones who weren't exactly thrilled that that was their left fielder, right? The Padres wanted to get a left fielder. And sometimes the best trades that happen are the ones that don't happen, right? The best trade talks are the ones that don't result in a trade. Now, again, it's early. Yrieksen had last year had 2 months. It was like 97 plate appearances where he was out of this world. Now, he wasn't playing very often. This is him playing every day and getting it. You know, as I wrote, he worked out with Tatis's dad and his uncle. And I just think it's fascinating, too, that Yrieksen Profar was Fernando Tatis Jr. back before prospects were, you know, now everybody's upset. You send some 18-year-old kid to Minnesota to get the closer that you needed. I mean, that Taylor Rogers trade set up everything else that's going on in the bullpen right now. Because you don't have to use, you know, you're searching, right, for a closer if you don't have Taylor Rogers. So they, you know, had to give up some major leaguers and some quality, a potentially quality young arm to get Taylor Rogers. So anyway, I just love that that story. That to me is a really good story to follow, what's happening with Yrieksen Profar.
Right. And excuse me, as you said, it's 2 weeks. It's 13, 14 games, whatever he's played. This doesn't mean that they've solved their left field problem. It means that they've gotten somebody, as we talked many times before, somebody to step up and into a role and take advantage of the opportunity and perform well. You know, looking forward, is Profar going to have a 1,000 OPS for the whole season? I'm pretty safe in predicting that that's not going to happen. But it doesn't mean that he can't be the answer. He just has to prove that he is.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? 2 weeks doesn't prove that, but he's off to a great start. And it's great to see, you know, he looks like the kind of guy who has fun playing the game. He's fun to watch. You know, bat flipping in the first couple of weeks of the season is great. I'm all for that. And, you know, he's been one of the guys they've needed to come up and get some key hits. You know, when some of the other guys are struggling. I mean, obviously Machado has been the best player so far. You know, Grisham shows signs here and there, but he's struggling. Cronenworth's been okay. You know, trending a little bit the wrong way. Luke Voigt's been bad. You know, Hosmer's been good. Myers has been bad. Austin Nola's been just okay.
Austin Nola's had some big hits, man.
Yeah, he has. Overall numbers are nothing great, but some big hits. And
if Austin Nola's has a .333 on base percentage and is playing 100 games, you got a good season out of Austin Nola.
Yeah, I would agree, especially the part about playing 100 games. But there, you know, still several guys that aren't doing much. But
now,
we've seen how things turn around.
I'm going to go out so I can gloat on Tuesday. No, I will never gloat because I'm wrong far more than I'm right. But Jake Cronenworth walked three times, and there were some really good at-bats in there because he's in one of the worst slumps of his career. Now, it's a young career, but still, I mean, I think he's batting like .150 or something over like 13 games. And he's missing more than he usually does. But the reality is he's not getting a lot of pitches. Like, there's a lot of respect being shown to Jake Cronenworth. And now, I'm not trying to say he's not slumping, but, you know, it's not like he's you know, Will Myers gets pitches and misses them, you know, misses like four opportunities a game. Jake Cronenworth has been getting like one opportunity a game. I went through this yesterday because I was like, what is happening with Jake Cronenworth? And so here's my prediction that this weekend, Jake Cronenworth goes off against the Dodgers. That's my prediction. Because guess what? He's never gone more than like 14 games without going off. So,
right. And, you know, I just our producer John has been running the numbers by for people who are watching this, and I think I saw five names go by who are regular starters that have batting averages under 200. Not that batting average is everything, but at some point you got to get some hits. I think most of those guys, their on base percentage is under 300 as well. But Grisham, Voigt, Cronenworth, Abrams, and Myers are all under 200, and I think all but Voigt probably have an on-base percentage under 300. Actually, Cronenworth's at 339. But he'll be slugging .239. That's a pretty big gap there. I mean, that means that on a normal night that you've got Machado hitting, you've got Profar, you've got Hosmer, and you've got either Nola or Alfaro, whoever is in the lineup. So you're not going to get too far without some guys picking it up and getting some hits. And the pitching's been great, and there's no reason not to expect it to continue to be great, but you're not going to give up, you know, just two or three runs every game. You're going to have to get some hits. And I think some of those guys are you know, going to have to snap out of it. And this weekend would be a good time for it.
And it's great. Like honestly, the defense, and that can continue all year. Not no errors.
Oh, sure.
But that can continue all year. Situational hitting. This is a tough game now with especially late innings, right? Where you've got guys just blazing on the mound. So, you know, maybe some home runs, that would help. A little more slug, right? That would help. So it's nice. Sacrifice flies. I think this team has more sacrifice flies already than they had in the first half last year.
I know. Seem like that.
That's awesome. You got to put the ball out of the park a little bit too. Now home runs are down.
I was going to say offense is down everywhere. And I think, you know, Major League Baseball, there are people who believe that they've really screwed up here by doing what they've done with the baseballs, thinking that they had a problem with too much offense. And there, people like offense. People don't like 155 batting averages.
Yeah,
and, but, you know, fly balls that die on the warning track.
So they're going to hear me complain about sub 3-hour games, which is five in a row.
I know they have, but I do think that we should note, as we say, that the Padres have five regulars batting under .200, that offense is down around the league. And you had a couple stats today where it was like, even as shaky as the Padres have been in a couple of categories, they're like in the middle of the eighth or ninth in the National League in those categories. It just shows how much offense is down. And I wonder at what point that, you know, that MLB maybe changes things. Because you get into the late innings, as you said, every guy who comes in, it seems like, is throwing 95. And it can be hard to score some runs.
They'll replace the balls after the All-Star break and everyone will start hitting home runs. They won't tell anybody they replaced the balls.
Of course not.
Yeah, they'll stop checking pitchers. I don't know. I covered the Dodgers in 1997, and that was when they had the bigger foul ground. And Tadeo Nomo, Ramon Martinez, Chanho Park, Darren Dreyfuss. Like, I covered 2-1 games in 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's what I thought baseball was. And then I come back and we're playing 4-hour games. So you're never – that game, that the 2-1 games, I just think that's masterful. I'll watch Tom and I and Yu Darvish all day.
Yeah, I think Yu Darvish is not playing.
He's a little slower. If he's only allowing one run, then he can be done quickly.
And he's not not walking, and he's not walking guys. But
they have three guys that work exceedingly quick, and Gore's not slow. It's a lot of fun to me, a brisk game.
No, I think the 2-1 or 3-2 game that's played in, you know, in 2.5, 2:40 even, or something like that. What kills you are those games that are 2-1 and go 3.5 hours. Because then there's just nothing happening. That I don't mind a long game. I mean, I'm speaking as a fan now, not as a sports editor, but I don't mind a long game as long as there's stuff happening. What kills you are the games where, like I said, it's 2-1 and it takes 3.5 hours because the pitchers are working slow and every count is 3-2. And I want to see the ball in play. And that's one of the issues that baseball has right now, obviously, is the ball is not in play enough. And that's what, you know, that's what I would like to see going forward. There's my quick soapbox for
about. We got into some things today. We did. We got into a few different issues. I like it. Next work time, Tuesday, I'll be in Cincinnati.
I will be here.
All right, you'll be there. Great. Glad to hear it. Let's wrap it up, Jay. Thanks, everybody.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.